This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Welcome back to another reading of Women's Health Magazine. My name is Susie Bartlett. Hope you're having a wonderful day so far. We are talking about weight management drugs. Side effects happen, but they're usually not serious. Scan a basic label on the meds and you'll see nausea, GI upset, vomiting, and reflux listed as side effects users may experience in the first few weeks until their body adjusts. But scour social media and the clicky terms like Ozempic butt and Ozempic face may leave you wondering whether the drugs are worth the prick. A primer on how worried you really need to be about certain reactions. Facial and body changes. Talk about Ozempic face and butt stems from the fact that using a drug of this kind leads to rapid weight loss that has an impact both on the body and the face. When you lose fat and muscle under the skin, these areas may sag as a result. Ozempic face is not dangerous, but if it bugs you, hydrate heavily to replenish skin suppleness and consider injectables and or fillers if that's your jam. For perking up the booty region, strength training is clutch for maintaining muscle as you lose weight. As for hair loss, the drug does not directly cause lost locks. The weight loss does. There's a form of stress-induced hair loss called telogen effluvium, and any stressor on the body, whether it's pregnancy, stress, or rapid weight loss, can cause it. To hang on to your strands, speak with your doctor about proper nutrition, supplementation, and meds approved for managing hair loss. Other rare medical issues. There is a chance of developing pancreatitis, which is inflammation of the pancreas, but the risk is low. It's also important to know that Ozempic has what's known as a black box warning from the FDA due to its potential to cause specific types of thyroid tumors and thyroid cancer based on rodent studies. It's a theoretical risk. It's been seen in rats, but not in humans. The current options are just the beginning. For weight loss meds, the future looks, well, plentiful. There are many new studies underway, as well as newer treatments that may be introduced into the market that could change the percentage of weight loss and offer fewer side effects, as well as change dosing frequency. One promising development, oral pills. Last June, the American Diabetes Association presented a study that showed significant weight loss for subjects taking daily semaglutide pills. There's something that feels very severe about injecting yourself weekly, says a doctor who's an endocrinologist and obesity medicine specialist. And when it comes to weight management, which is such a sensitive issue, the idea of injecting yourself to achieve weight loss carries stigma. The notion of taking a pill lowers the entry barrier, which could be a game changer because of safety, tolerability, and efficacy. The oral option may hit the market sometime this year. This evolving medical landscape is an exciting space to watch, experts agree. Most likely, we'll see more and more meds in these drug classes approved for weight management in the future. FYI, the drugs are meant to be taken indefinitely. This is a big misunderstanding, is that you can use these meds to lose weight and then stop taking them. In truth, obesity is a chronic disease and will require long-term therapy, just like high blood pressure. This doesn't mean everyone will require medicine long-term, but most people likely will in some form. And while these drugs are effective and doctors say they're relatively safe, they are not a cure-all. I tell patients, says one doctor, that if after 6 months you have not changed the way you eat or your activity levels, you're going to gain weight back. Ozempic should be used in combination with diet changes or nutritional counseling, exercise, and lifestyle modifications. Lots of factors contribute to obesity, which means there's no one-size-fits-all approach. Individualization is key, and things like resistance training and increased protein intake can help people hold on to muscle while they lose mostly fat, helping with quality of life and function. Ultimately, though, the interventions serve as kickstarters to eating healthfully and exercising. To rely on a drug purely for weight loss is going to end in failure. It has to be the drug plus lifestyle modifications. Cost conundrum. Truth. The buzzy pharmaceuticals can run up a big bill. Some weight loss medications are covered by insurance now, and others are expected to be covered in the future. But that's not the case for all. Plus, when the medications are prescribed off-label, insurance companies won't cover the cost. While the sticker price varies by medication and dose, expect to pay about $1,000 per month out of pocket if you're not able to apply it to your insurance. Remember, the drugs are meant to be used long-term, so costs can really mount. With insurance, you could generally pay anywhere from zilch to $100 monthly. The best way to know if your meds will be covered is to contact your insurance company to find out how someone qualifies for coverage for the drug. Then speak with your doctor about the parameters of your prescription. Each medication has certain criteria, and it can be a lot to wade through. Wow, so much to think about. We are moving on to fuel your skin. Inside your body, there's a crew of unsung protein heroes that scientists believe are the key to a healthy, glowing complexion. Heads up, your routine is about to change for the better. When you hear the words quality protein, you likely think of hard-boiled eggs, flaked tuna, or a heaping scoop of whey powder, and probably not your skincare products. But as the most plentiful substance in our bodies after water, proteins are, in fact, the building blocks of skin. Every function of your outermost layer relies on them. But surprisingly, little is understood about how this vast network, known as the skin proteome, functions as a whole. Experts have a grasp on the biggies like collagen and elastin, but there are thousands of other such proteins whose job remains unclear. Well, that's starting to change. Thanks to new research technology, scientists are learning more about the less well-known proteins of this proteome and the role they play in skin aging and disease. It's leading to advances in products and treatments, along with fresh insight into the role of diet and overall wellness. To be clear, you may already be doing a lot to support your skin proteome, but we're discovering that there are other ways to get even more plumping, glowing, smoothing benefits. Seeking the inside story. Like the microbiome before it, the inner workings of the proteome are the big frontier in skincare to be explored, researchers say. It's a part of an area of a study called proteomics. And as you read this, experts are hard at work mapping every single protein found in the body. Every organ, from the lungs to the liver to our largest, the skin, is made up of thousands of different proteins. Some are unique to their location. Others, like collagen, can be found in multiple areas, like your bones, connective tissue, and of course your skin. What's so intriguing about this research, which begins in earnest in the early 2000s, is that while genomes can predict a person's disease risk in the future, rather, proteomes are good indicators of the current state of health of individual organs because they can be influenced by environment, lifestyle, and behavior. The insights that individual proteomes could provide is one of the biggest reasons dermatologic scientists want to create a database of every known protein found in skin. Painstaking work that is in motion and could take years to complete. To understand all that goes on in the skin, we have to know everything that's in the skin. Knowing which proteins are present is just the beginning. We've developed new techniques to screen proteins to identify damage, allowing us to better understand how to prevent or repair it. Watching the power players in action. To date, the University of Manchester and number 7 researchers have identified more than 3,000 proteins in skin and presented their findings at the 2023 American Academy of Dermatology Conference. At the time of this story's publication, the study had been submitted to a top journal. The proteins we know the most about right now are structural ones, like collagen, your complexion's main support system, elastin, it provides stretch and elasticity, and keratin, this one binds cells together. Then there are specialized proteins like fibrillin, which helps keep the skin bouncy, fibronectin, essential to tissue repair, and laminin, involved in healing damage. But researchers believe there could be thousands more that haven't been named. Through proteomics, scientists are learning how the main skin proteins become damaged and what role their supporters play. This could translate into new therapies for conditions like psoriasis, eczema, and breakouts, since we know that certain skin proteins can exacerbate acne or make you more prone to it. Some studies even found that proteins are involved in most skin cancers. How does all of this factor into how we care for our complexion? For years, skincare has been aimed at encouraging plentiful amounts of proteins like collagen and elastin to be produced. Today, research is showing that it's not just about how much of a certain protein there is, but also how that protein is organized and functioning. Take elastin, for example. You could have a lot of it, but if it's disorganized or clumped together, it's not going to firm and lift the skin. It's a combination of quantity and quality. Scientists are also trying to determine how other, less understood proteins function so as to develop more targeted solutions. One example is fibrillin, which gives skin youthful bounce. Skin that lacks fibrillin won't be as firm or smooth, and proteomics suggests that this may have less to do with chronological age and more with cumulative sun exposure. Increasingly, we're understanding which skin proteins change with age and which change with injury, which helps us figure out what we can do to stimulate the repair. 71 estimated percentage of all human proteins are found in the skin. Protecting your proteins. While developing new and novel treatments is the goal, experts urge you for now to keep doing what the pros preach. First, slather on sunscreen and an antioxidant serum to shield UV-sensitive proteins from damage. Then, continue or start using the gold standard ingredients that help stimulate the main proteins, such as retinoids like over-the-counter retinol and vitamin C. Buzzy ingredients like growth factors and stem cell-derived exosomes are promising innovations that have been shown to stimulate skin cells to turn out healthy collagen. Exosomes are tiny nutrient-filled sacs released by every cell in our body, and they play an essential role in cellular communication. In this way, exosome products could produce the signs or reduce the signs of aging, improve texture, and enhance reparative processes. But while everything mentioned above is great at stimulating new collagen, and to a lesser extent, elastin, the ingredients can't repair damaged proteins. What seems to be initially promising in that regard, peptides. These short chains of amino acids, which can be targeted and tweaked in a lab, are the building blocks of the natural proteins in our body. When proteins break down, they release peptides. Your skin senses these fragments floating around, a signal that damage has occurred, and its self-repair process kicks in. Applying peptides topically triggers the same process, nudging skin to replenish its store of healthy, well-functioning proteins. To that end, scientists from the University of Manchester and number 7 identified the peptides released when proteins that support skin function, such as collagen, elastin, and fibrillin, break down. Using this information, number 7 created a patent-pending complex that they call a superpeptide blend, available in their future Renew skincare range. This proprietary technology targets the cumulative damage to 50-plus proteins both on and under the surface of the skin, triggering their repair and restoration, a promising innovation that shows that as our knowledge of the skin proteome becomes more sophisticated, products developed to address it may follow suit. Looking ahead, an ingredient piquing researchers' interest is Gravitil, a bioengineered version of a red macroalgae, which was created by cosmetic manufacturer Givaudan and is not yet available. Gravitil improves elastin organization and the productions of collagens 1 and 3, which help fight and reverse the effects of gravity on skin. Givaudan studies show it reduces double chin volume in 1 month. Whoa. And experts believe it will likely make its way into skincare soon. While you may be tempted to chug a collagen beverage or pop a pill after reading all of this protein chatter, typical products are your best bet. When you eat collagen, it goes to your gut and connective tissue like your joints first. So some small studies suggest it may eventually make it to your skin, but doctors generally advise their patients not to expect wow results. A better inside-out approach is through diet. The bottom line, this isn't the last time you'll hear about the skin proteome. There is so much research going on with many more discoveries to be made. Experts believe that the next benchmark, after repair of damaged proteins, will be ways to stop their degradation in the first place. UV exposure and pollution are big offenders, but anything we put inside our bodies can affect the function and integrity of skin's proteins. That's why we advocate for a healthy diet with as few preservatives and sugars as possible. All right, that is such great advice. Always watching our diet because we know everything starts there. All right, next we have Breakthrough. Broadway actor Crystal Joy Brown. The merrily we roll along star took her first sip of alcohol at the age of 12. She remembers it tasting horrible, but enjoying the pleasantly numb feeling it gave her. As a teen, she and her friends would sneak wine and beer into basement parties. By the time Crystal became a working actor in her 20s, drinking just seemed part and parcel of the industry. "We celebrated with alcohol. We commiserated with alcohol," she says. But when Crystal moved from New York to LA in the mid-2010s and struggled to make the leap from stage to screen, she found herself relying on the substance more and more as a coping mechanism. After one particularly rough night out, Crystal woke up the following morning and decided she was done with it. She found a 7 a.m. Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, which she then attended nearly every day for a year. "I stopped being able to metabolize alcohol in a way that was healthy for me," she says. "I went deep into the world of sobriety, finding a new community that was not about drinking. Now," Crystal says, "she's able to be fully present. I feel like I am a good friend, partner, and employee," she says. "That was the biggest learning, being in the moment." 6, the number of Broadway shows in which Crystal has starred. She made her debut in Hair in 2009. She says, "Trusting in myself and my abilities is something I always go back to. Seek out a trusted perspective." She says, "I started therapy at 23. There was a lot of stuff I was pushing to the side, and I needed the help dealing from someone who was unbiased. Therapy was really great for that." Celebrate tiny wins. She says, "I began a gratitude journal in recovery, but I was so sad that I couldn't even think of 5 things to write. So I started small. the roof over my head, my bed, my backpack. Then I found bigger ones. Ah, that is amazing. Well, my friends, my goodness, I think we have reached the end of the road here on this issue. Well, that went quickly. Next time I will be back and we will be reading more from Women's Health Magazine. My name is Susie Bartlett. Wishing you the best day ever, my friends. Take care. Make it a good one. Bye-bye.